going on in this bridal encouragement that we're rejoicing in Brother Jonathan's life. And we left off in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we'll pick it up here in the 24th verse. And let's read, a good five or six verses, and then we'll begin to have the study. "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eats any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies.'" And we've seen this pattern with Saul. So selfish, so self-centered, everything was about him. And he could never let that go. It was always something that concerned him. And God help us to wake up and to see that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the beauty of our God, and to truly allow him to be everything in our life, that we take it from him, that our every breath, praise God, is something of such a gift to give him praise and thanksgiving. So this poor Saul, King Saul, was just so consumed with himself that he continues to repeat the same mistake over and over and over again. So he says that I may be avenged of my enemies, not even thinking of the people. "So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath." God even brought the honey down. They didn't even have to reach for it. It was just all over the place. That's how much he wanted them to eat of the honey. Amen? Amen. It's on the ground. We better get to eating. All right? So, "But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath." And this was the oath that Saul had made the people take. "But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of his rod that was in his hand, and he dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened." Isn't that wonderful? "Then answered one of the people and said, 'Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day.' And the people were faint." See what it did to the people? See what happens when you don't eat? Eat the word of God. Eat strong meat. You become weak. You become faint. "Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land." Here it is. "See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey." And he just tasted a little bit. How much we tasted. "How much more if happily the people had eaten freely." See, you got to eat freely. And when? Today. Not tomorrow, but today. "Of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" Okay, let's just stop there for a second. About to explode just reading that. Now, this is where we're at right now. And I pray that we can place ourselves in this mighty time where God has given us Paul's gospel, the bridal message. Amen. And we've come in, and let me tell you something. He caused that honey to come down. Isn't that wonderful? And the honeycombs are all over. You know what I'm saying? They're here. But what are you going to do with the honey? It's dripping. But see, what happened was the people feared. And when you fear, you're not going to go after it. When you fear, you're going to hesitate. When you fear, you don't have confidence and faith in the faithfulness of God. When we fear, we don't have faith in God's word. Let's just be honest. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. That's that kind of delirious love that David had. Running into the giant, sure, but the delirious love that David had, you know what real delirious love is? Is when you're an adulterer and a fornicator and a murderer, and you still say, "I'm the anointed of God." That's when you have faith in the faithfulness of God. That's a mighty man. In any other religious, they'd say, "Oh, that's a horrible man." That's a mighty man of God, because he believes in the grace of God. Now, you know I'm not advocating that stuff. We don't sin willfully that grace may abound. But you better have confidence in one thing, and that is the grace of God, or you'll miss it. Now, wonderful. Isn't this wonderful? But we see here that it was Saul's oath, his self-righteousness, that caused the people to fear. And I see this in God's people, and you see this often. People have taken an oath to a religion. People have taken an oath to heritage. People miss the abundance of the bridal truth that's pouring forth today. By the grace of God, you need to step out. You need to break free. You need to take the honey and live the victory. And don't limit truth in your life for anything. For anything. There is nothing worthy to be compared. I don't care how, whatever it may be in your life, may be your idol. It cannot compare. Neither is it worthy to be compared. To sacrifice or compromise or limit the whole counsel of God in your life. And Jonathan here, it was so sweet. He did not hear his father's wicked oath. Now, why didn't he hear that? Because God protected his ears. You know how God protected his ears? He went after strong meat. There was nothing else. And how can you say that, brother? How do you know that he went after more? Well, because he went out from among the camp. Remember last time we got together, they were looking for him. Where did he go with that armor bearer? They didn't even know he was gone, did they? Let me tell you something. They're not going to know the bride's gone either. They're going to know something's changed. But when you ain't looking for that, you're not even going to know what happened. You better know it. Now, you stay out there from the camp, you don't get watered down truth. When you stay out from among the camp, you don't get led away in error. The masses will never want sound doctrine. It'll never happen. So you might as well know it because the Word of God says it. Now, verse 27, isn't it wonderful? It says he put that rod that was in his hand and he put it into the honeycomb. And that's, I mean, he went right into the heart of it, didn't he? You know, it wasn't just, I'm going to get a little scrape there and there. He went right into the honeycomb, into the depth of that truth. Want something mighty worked in your life? You get into the depth of the truth. Amen. That's what these mighty men, this is what separates them apart to God. Out from among the rest. This is, there's many virgins that have done wonderfully and all that, but thou excellest them all. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The king's love exceeded to Esther beyond all the other virgins because she went after what the Holy Ghost had. She only took, again, what was given of the Holy Ghost in that type, in that bridal type of the chamberlain. It's all over the Word of God. Just know these. Now, we live in an amazing time right now, brothers and sisters, because this honey is the thickest it's ever been. And you think about that, because we live in the day of the latter rain. It's pouring, and then it's going to stop. Just like when you get to the end of a storm, and I'll tell you often this, and they teach you this in piloting, a lot of times you're thinking, oh my goodness, now it's really, really pouring. A lot of times, right when it really, really pours, bam, it's over. And then it just clears up, and it's done. And you're almost mystified because it was so intense and then it's gone. And that's what's going to happen when the bride's taken. It's intense and she's gone. Praise God. But isn't it also interesting at this time of such intensity of rain that ones that are quickened and are awake, yet there's a famine for the Word of God. It doesn't make sense, does it? But the Bible tells you what is so. And it's evident and it's apparent what is going on. So, after Jonathan eats, what happens? He's strengthened, isn't he? And that's what the honey always does. It strengthens us. If you're weak in faith, it's because you're not hearing the Word of God. When you're weak in the things and there's wrestling going on, like with Saul. He was an example, the complete opposite of Jonathan. Jonathan has boldness. His steps are enlarged. He's living miracle after miracle. And Saul is struggling, thrashing around. It's like, you know, as you're a runner, you run well. You don't want to run as one that beats the air. Saul is a type of one that beats the air. Just thrashing, trying to figure out something in his own strength. And Jonathan is just peace. What will the Lord work for me today? I love that. We should get shirts. What will the Lord work for me today? There you go. But more than a shirt, you need it in your heart. And just to be ready. But then when he takes that honey, he's ready to fight. And he hears of his father's folly. He hears of his father's oath, doesn't he? And isn't it wonderful what happens to Jonathan? He doesn't hold back. He is bold. And he tells the people, my father has troubled the land. Isn't that something? See, it all changed right there. And it really will change, as we'll see, for Jonathan. He entered into the joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ. At that moment, he really went into the sufferings. Because we're going to see what happens in his life. You're even going to see, a lot of people know that that spear was thrown at David. But a lot of people don't know that that spear also from Saul was thrown at Jonathan. Joint suffering together with the king. Wonderful, praise God. But it changed there. And now there's going to be some suffering. Jonathan chose to stand for the truth. And it was a sweet thing here because he had to stand against family. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand this. Even when it's family, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is spiritual wickedness. Self-righteousness is the height of spiritual wickedness. Did you know that? Read about the Antichrist. Exalts himself as God. That's self-righteousness to its height. That's what the devil did. He wanted to be exalted above God. And this is that filthy self-righteousness. They're talking about this man that killed all these people. How horrific. If he didn't know the Lord, he's in hell. But if he says, oh, that's just the worst. He's going to go to this and that. Let me tell you something. Brother Paul said at the time that before he was converted, he said, I was the chief of sinner. And you know why he was the chief of sinner? Because he was the one that went after the law like nobody else went after the law. It was that dirty self-righteousness. And we have to awaken to that. Because those are the subtleties that the devil will come in and again try to puff us up with who we are in Christ. But yet we know that he must increase and we must decrease. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And that was sweet, Jonathan. Just always allowing the Lord to be magnified. But see, this was pride and self-righteousness. And Jonathan was going to choose to be a pillar in his house and in the house of the Lord and stand against that folly. Now, this can be a difficult thing in family, brothers and sisters. When we have loved ones that are leading ones in our family away from truth, or are binding loved ones with thoughts and lies that hurt lives and bind them in the things of the world, we had better speak up. See, Jonathan sought that peace, but it came to a time, it came to a moment. You're troubling the land, Dad. This has got to stop. You're hurting the people. You're keeping them from feeding on the truth. This isn't a story just of this day. This is a story of right now concerning us. And where are we, praise God, with our loved ones and our family? Yes, and I thank God that his word is always on time. But we had better face the wrong, and we had better stop the discord. See, Saul was causing discord in the people. And the discord is because he was keeping them from truth. He was keeping them from the word of God. They were weak, they were faint, they were fearful. God help us that we would never go that way. Now, not only does he speak out against the wicked way of his father, what Jonathan does even gets sweeter. He testifies of what the honey did for him. He doesn't just go in there and be critical. He says, I want you to know what the honey did. Well, here's what the honey did. I ate of this honey. he says, and this honey enlightened my eyes. And I pray to God, hallelujah, that we eat of this honey because we have a honey of a better promise and a better thing. Exceeding precious honey, if you will, of Paul's gospel. And God help us not to be ashamed and to tell what our eyes are seeing and having that enlightened vision of the Word of God and to be encouraging. Wake up. Wake up. It's pouring forth right now. See, the Holy Ghost gives us a vision of the deep things of God. And think of what Jonathan said. I just tasted a little. Isn't that something about what the Word of God can do? Just a little, here a little, there a little, line upon line and line upon line. Isn't that wonderful? I know sometimes we sit down, oh, I'm going to read a whole chapter today. And that'd be fine, don't get me wrong. Man, sometimes you get those three or four verses and just to chew on them. Maybe just one verse and just chew on that verse. And praise God, it's not to, again, be lazy, but it's really to understand that, you know, these are the things that, you know, God would have us to do. Brothers, I don't know if you turn this back on, if you don't mind turning that off. It's giving me a fuzzer here. There we go. Thank you. Give me a little feedback. Now, where were we here? Now, there's no excuse not to eat. We are in a time that this honey is flowing all over the place and Jesus is coming. And it's here. And we can have ones that act up. But brothers and sisters, if we're not going to feast of the honey, we have no one to blame but ourselves. There's going to be winds of doctrine. We're going to have heresies. As much as we want to truly to have our fellowship in the gospel of Christ and stay in that, there still must be heresies among you. It must be that way because God said it would be that way and it is that way. Can you imagine? Doesn't mean that we smile and rejoice. I do thank God because his word is true. But I'll tell you what, it's a burden and it's a burden that continues. And it hurts because the devil lies to you. That's all he can do. And he wants to cause chaos. And all he wants to do is separate you apart from the truth. And we get to listening to the enemy, and the enemy can only spew lies. And then we're blinded and blinded in things as opposed to running well. And brothers and sisters, there isn't anything that, as we said earlier, that can compare. There is but one thing. It's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he stated it over and over in the Word of God. This is going to come through fighting a good fight of faith. This is not a lotus land of ease. You're going to be rubbed. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be chipped away. You're going to be polished. You've heard our pastor say many times, the diamonds cutting diamonds. It's going to happen. But brothers and sisters, I tell you, no matter, when people come into this meeting by the grace of God, love them. Love on them by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, there's been so many different wounds in so many different ways that people will allow to, again, fester and keep you from the truth. And it can be anything. I've seen it with people that have went through divorces in this meeting. And I've seen people that really love the Lord, but yet they went after him. Well, you were the one that was wrong in this. Let God take care of those things. Love people. But there are wounds and everybody's got them. And your wound is not greater than somebody else's. I used to think, oh Lord, my wound ain't that big. Let me tell you something. It's big enough for the bride of Christ. And if it was any smaller or any bigger, I wouldn't hit that mark that he has for me. We do not compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Do you believe that you're wonderfully and fearfully made? I pray you do. And who are you wonderfully and fearfully made for? Jesus. You're in a particular time, a particular place. You're made an exact way with all of the precious, incredible trials of your faith. And that's it for each and every one of us. And I hurt, and I pray we hurt for one another when we're going through hurtful things. But I'll tell you what, He is faithful. And faithful beyond even comprehension faithful, that He perfects that which concerns you. He perfects it. Oh, let's get on the gospel train. I mean it. We need the gospel. Praise God. So, this is the meat. And we better stand and stand against that self-righteousness or reasons for taking oaths, or we'll let something pass us by that will have to be a tear that'll be wiped from my eye when I see the Lord. I don't want that to happen because there isn't anything to compare. Amen. Verse 30, Jonathan's sweetheart of love. So amazing here. When we receive love shed abroad, we have passion for God's people. If only the people had eaten, devoured the honey, is really what Jonathan was saying there, they would have been strengthened and the victory would have been so much greater. Isn't that wonderful? And think of Jonathan's victory. It was incredible for himself, wasn't it? But see, Jonathan had a heart, the heart of God. He wanted the people to partake in that with him. And it would have been greater. Do you see how wonderful and incredible it is when we run to win him? The encouragement, the supplying of the joints of the body to one another. It's incredible. Spectacular. This is why we're so graced. This is why, by the grace of God, man, when's 7 o'clock going to be here? Those doors got to open up. Oh, I appreciated how brothers prayed. You know, Lord, that really I'm readied, and if there was anything to be anxious for, the Word of God. Lord, I want to hear it. I want to have that readied ear. Praise God. So, this is profound stuff because the honey always defeats the enemy. The honey will always defeat the enemy. Know that. And the enemy wants nothing more than to keep you from the truth or keep you from the honey, which strengthens and enlightens eyes. Jonathan walked with enlarged steps of faith. And in our promise, praise God, which is Paul's gospel. Hallelujah. We go on in that, you'll go on and see more. And you'll see more. And you'll grow on, and you'll grow on, and you'll grow up into him in all things. Hallelujah. The more you eat, the more victory you're going to possess. Because the more you eat, it's sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the stomach. The more you eat, you're going to be strengthened and ready for battle. And oh, he's prepared the battle. And he's prepared you for the battle. And then he's already won the battle for us. So we're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. So let's just walk through the battle. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The greater the slaughter of the enemy in your life, can you imagine that? Don't you love when the Lord slays the giant Goliaths in your life? Isn't that wonderful? It's so beautiful when these things happen. We get more word, we believe more. This is why the mighty men were so special, because they wanted more giants to slay. And they were even sad when they were running out of the giants to slay. Hallelujah. This thing keeps going on here. Let's see if we can turn this off. There we go. A minute, we're going to just push it over. And I'm going to hold a Bible. All right. Just teasing. All right. Let's read verses 31 through 45. And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. And the people that were very faint. Isn't that something? They're very faint. Everything's about the people faint, and don't have strength. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. You know why? Because they were faint. They needed food. They needed to be fed. And they told Saul, saying, "Behold, the people sin against the Lord, and that they eat with the blood." And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. It was always me. I. Everything's about me. Isn't that something? God help us never to quench the spirit. Amen? It's so marvelous. Don't be one. I've been there before. The spirit just racing around a meeting. People encouraging the Lord. Let me see what I can fester up. Let me tell you something. The anointing on this meeting right now is thick. And that's why there's a fight. You're just going to see it from afar off and try to pick and hurt like those sons of the prophet did? Or are you going to be like Elisha and say, oh no, I'm going to have that double portion. It don't matter what you're saying. You fools can be way out there. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I love you. I know you understand this. And they told Saul right there, behold, the people sin against the Lord. They eat. And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people and say unto them, bring me hither every man his ox, every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat. And sin not against the Lord in the eating of the blood. And all the people, every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seemeth good unto thee. They were so weak, they couldn't even speak. Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God. Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But God answered him not that day. And Saul said, draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. Isn't that something? He's looking for the sin. You the man. You the man. For as the Lord lives, which saves Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. He didn't realize what he was saying, did he? How haunting. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. A little fool speak, huh? Then he said unto all Israel, be on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seemeth good unto thee. See, they knew it was going down. They knew about Jonathan. But Saul just kept talking. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. Isn't it amazing how pious you can be? Oh, we just want God to have perfection here. I'm trusting God, are you? And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand. And lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. You imagine a dad saying that? That's where pride will take you. You'll sacrifice every one of your kids. I pray people listen. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Ha! Isn't that good? You don't need to read anything else but the Word of God. But we see Saul's self-will just continues over and over and over. And brothers and sisters, if we don't turn to the Word of God, We're going to act. Even though you're a sheep, you're going to act like a dog that continues to return to his vomit. You'll continue to repeat the same mistakes. You'll think that you can be so religious that you can somehow get beyond this. But you're always self-seeking. It's got to be the grace and the mercy of the Lord. You better look to the blood of the Lamb and break before God. So now what Saul's doing, he prohibits the people from eating the spoil. In verse 32, verse 35, it says that Saul goes and builds the same altar. It's the same altar. And that to me shows that there was never any growth in his life. And there was never any growth because he never repented of his self-righteousness. He never really broke before God. The prophet told him, how many times was he corrected? But yet he never changed. He never broke. He continued on in his self-will. I'm right. I'm going to show I'm right because I'm king. Verse 37. God doesn't answer him. He says, I want you to tell me, Lord, I want to go down and slaughter these Philistines. All his sacrifice and self-doing doesn't work. Look how Samuel said it. Chapter 15, let's read verse 22 together. Here's what Samuel finally has to tell him. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Are you going through the motions, or is it faith? Search me, O Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. You do it, God. Because I can't. Amen. So, in verse 38, it proves that Saul never changed. For as the Lord liveth, he says, and Saul said, draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. See how you can become an accuser of the brethren? You get so twisted in your mind, you're the one that's wrong. It's evident. It's right there. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. There's no limit where God will take you. But if you're going to be stiff-necked and you're going to sit there and... how many times you're going to hit that head against the wall? And Saul did. And again and again and again. So Saul gathers the people to see who's broken the oath. And he says that has made God angry toward me. Isn't that interesting again? How dare somebody here made God angry toward me? I'm king. I'm important. Whose fault is this? That things aren't working out my way? Blames everybody but himself. That can be the point where we get into the martyr syndrome. That I'm a victim. You're a little king. You're a son of God. You're no victim. We got to wake up. Amen? Come on. Now, he's so sure that it's not Jonathan that, as he said, sinned and caused him all this trouble, that he said even if it is Jonathan, he'd still be killed. Well, what folly again that the destruction when we go in self-will to try to be self-righteous when we're pious. What destruction. It's awful. And so the Lord brings it to a head. In verse 43, Jonathan says, because he's strong in the Lord, it's me. I did it. Isn't that something? Jonathan didn't try to hide it. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Says, it's me. And I thought, you know, just think of this. This was Saul's son, his eldest son, the one that would be the heir to the throne, the finest of sons you could ever have. But yet Saul's foolish words, Saul's oath to magnify himself, because he was only concerned about himself. It brought the death of his son. And then he was so proud and he was so foolish that not only did it bring the death of his son, he had the chance to reverse that if he wanted to. He was king. But he was so proud he was going to follow through. And never admits that he was wrong. And he won't acknowledge his fault. Matter of fact, as we know the word of the Lord here, Saul's pride and disobedience destroyed his whole family. God forbid that would be us. I've seen it. Full of pride, sacrificing the whole family. Led them away because they will not break before God and admit that I was wrong. Be quick to repent. Be quick. Oh my. You harbor bitterness, it'll just grow. And it will grow and grow. That's why the word of the Lord says, get rid of every root of bitterness. And only love of Jesus can do that. Amen? See, that love that just comes in and works so effectually in our hearts and lives, that's what it's got to be, and it'll break that. And dear Jonathan, he wasn't afraid to testify, I've got enlightened eyes. Hallelujah. Even though it meant death, it was worth it all. Verse 43, I did taste a little honey with the end of the rod, and notice that was in my hand. We need to take it, praise God. Yeah. And I thank the Lord that he was encouraged to just take it. And brothers and sisters, we have that rod, don't we? But the question is, will we dip it in? But I'm thanking the Lord tonight. We're dipping it in. Yes, we are. And I thank God that, see, the Spirit does that. Don't let religion, don't let self, don't let your upbringing, don't even let a foolish relative with a lot of power and a big mouth like Saul keep you from going on with God. Stand up and take the honey. Amen? His word's on time. It's right on time. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. I've seen this so sweetly in families where people have taken that encouragement of God and taken the stand in their family and said, well, this is the way we've been and this is the way we're going. And I said, no, this is what the word of the Lord says. And I've seen ones have to go alone. But I've also seen ones win their families. Just because of one. Talked about that torch. You take that torch, sister. You keep praying. Amen. You know the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But compromise will get you nowhere. Self-pity is not going to get you anywhere. Go on. Amen. Praise God. Better are the wounds of a friend than kisses of an enemy. So, let's take it from the Lord. He's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Amen. Now, look what the stand did in verse 45. It said, and the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die? Who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid! As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan that he died not. It encouraged the people. Even though they were faint, praise God, they stood up to the king. They said, this is not going to happen. We see the testimony of the working of the Lord. We see that this brother, praise God, has brought in the great salvation. God chose a vessel, the Apostle Paul, and he brought in great salvation. Matter of fact, salvation with eternal glory. Complete salvation. Salvation so incredible, by the grace of God, can keep us, hallelujah, from the tribulation. Philadelphia saints. Amen. So, we say hallelujah. And take that testimony for yourself with Jonathan, how God protects you. Notice he says not one hair of your head. And you could think of that in a lot of ways. Is, you know, well, you know, Jonathan eventually, no, we're talking about this is the forever. This is what God has for us in being a full overcomer. Take it. It's so wondrous. But God protects you. Be brave in truth. Be brave in truth. Step out. This is sweet. And in that encouragement, that life, Jonathan, hallelujah, encourage those people to go on. Amen. Praise the Lord. It wrought a victory. When you stand against that kind of foolishness, it will wrought a victory. It will. And then we end up in chapter 15. Once again, if you'll read through it, Saul doesn't repent. He goes right back to his old tricks. He looks to the strength of man. And any strapping youth that looked like he was going to have any potential at all, he took them and he put them in the army. But I'll tell you what, God's getting Jonathan ready. Those enlightened eyes, because of the honey that he took, those enlightened eyes that were only because he chose great salvation, he's now, as we go on in this next week, if the Lord tarry, he's ready to fall in love with a king. Ready to fall in love with a king? Praise God. I hope it's encouraged you. I'm so thankful to God. He is so amazing. It's just thrilling. Don't doubt him. Don't wrestle. Throw that hip right out of your socket. I don't want to be gimpy. I want to run well. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.